The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Michael O'Leary is here. Michael, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Pleasure to be here.
Once again, you are preoccupied by the activities of the DAA.
Or not, as the case may be. You know, we're more preoccupied by the failure of the government to do anything to lift the cap at Dublin Airport 18 months after the programme for government said they would lift it as soon as possible. I am mystified as to why a government with a 20-seat majority haven't passed the legislation within 3 months. It's now 18 months and we, the American Airlines and everybody else, are still waiting for this cap to be abolished.
What are they telling you about the delay?
Oh, it's very complicated. It's very difficult. You don't understand. The opposition parties are opposing it, to which we say, well, you have a 20-seat majority. Get on with it. But it seems to be redolent to this government, you know, all talk and no delivery, no action.
Now, the extraordinary thing about this particular problem, if that's what it is that it was based on traffic management around the airport. And when that condition was first imposed, there was a difficulty. That difficulty has been eliminated by the M50, the M1 and all the rest. And you'd imagine when a condition for a planning evaporates, that the planning then should, the restriction should also evaporate.
Well, this is even more bizarre. Like, firstly, there was a concern about road traffic in 2007. So they decide, let's limit the traffic at the airport. Well, why didn't you just fix the road traffic problems? Which, to be fair, they have with the M1, the M50 and all of that. Then they gave planning permission for a second runway in 2015. The second runway takes capacity from 30 to about 60 million passengers a year. But, oh, we still have to comply with the 2007 road traffic planning restriction. Well, then why did you give permission for a second runway in 2015? We've already spent the money. We, the airlines, have paid for this second runway. Our passengers want to use it. And we cannot be held up by, you know, Fingal County Council dithering over a planning restriction that has long since been redundant.
At the same time, we have done reports out there and the noise level can be pretty atrocious. I know if you live beside a railway, you get used to the rail and you forget about it. But the episodic nature of air transport means that you can never really predict when the noise is going to happen.
But you're right. But I mean, the noise is not going to happen at nighttime. You know, when you're asleep in your bed with your windows closed, A, there's no flights at Dublin, you know, very few flights between midnight and 6 a.m. You know, we're not asking for much here. But the decibel level of an aircraft overhead, St. Margaret's, Ballybottle or Ashbourne, is something of the order between 50 to 55 decibels. With the window closed, you don't hear it at all. But 55 decibels is safe.
My window is open. In this weather, Michael, I'm afraid.
If you have any sense, you should close the windows in this weather because it's warmer outside than it is in.
Okay, but if the growth happens as you would predict it would happen, it would mean that pretty much the noise levels will increase and the frequency of those noises will increase. Going from 40 to 60.
I think that's inevitable, but that increase will take place on much quieter aircraft. But the engine for growth for this economy that growth would deliver over the next 5 or 10 years will be extraordinary. And we need to deliver that growth if we're going to invest in the infrastructure, the defence and whatever else this country needs to. This is indigenous growth. It's not dependent on US multinationals.
Now, you've put out a video during the week which is critical of the DAA's grand plans. Yep. $5.6 billion going to be spent. That's the projected spend, including contingencies and all the rest of it. And I'm wondering, you see, about that plan, given that the boss of the DAA used to be Kenny Jacobs, an alumnus of Ryanair. Was this plan fashioned under his tutelage, do you think?
I think this plan was fashioned many years ago. The DAA have a whole department of people who are spend their entire time designing facilities.
The reason I ask is I have expected Kenny Jacobs to bring with him the Ryanair ethos of doing things well, but at a price.
Well, I mean, we see no evidence of it. You know, like, the problem here is the Dublin Airport, to be fair to his predecessor, was Dalton Phillips. He built a second runway during COVID, which was the ideal time to invest in infrastructure. Now, we need to, in order to grow the airport, we need an extension of Pier 1 where our traffic grows to the north. That would cost about 60, 80 million. The DA wants to spend 5.6 billion. That's the cost of two national children's hospitals. And if you look at them, I mean, it's all regulatory gaming. It's, let's put in the biggest number we can think to the Irish Aviation Authority, and then they'll give us a price increase for the next 10 years. And you look at the numbers, they're completely mad. 900 million for contingencies, 700 million for inflation, and even 500 million for sustainability. It's an airport, for God's sake. It's not a sustainable, it's not some green centre of green
oasis. At the same time, if they didn't put in that money for contingencies, you know what would happen. Overrun but contingencies take care of that. So
it's just regulatory gaming.
Now, people who are old enough will remember your objections to T2, and you still maintain it was built in the wrong place, and hence the need to...
Which is why we published the video. They built T2, you know, with two big buildings for check-in space at a time when people are actually travelling with less bags and need less check-in, but one small pier. And the problem with T2 now is it is full, because it was badly designed and built in a cul-de-sac. They now want to knock down all the properties around T2, the cargo building, the old Ryanair office building, to make space for a little finger that will give them three more parking stands. And it all comes back to the same problem. They wasted $1.2 billion building T2 in the wrong place with the wrong design.
But we are where we are.
That's sadly true. And let's face it, the only airline that's going to deliver significant growth at Dublin Airport in the next 20 years is Ryanair. We're the only airline that has 300 new aircraft on order. We would like to drive enormous traffic and economic growth into this country, but we can't do it if we let the Dublin Airport monopoly spend two National Children's Hospitals building a couple of additional stands at Dublin Airport.
Okay, so where would your new stands go? Because you would definitely need new stands.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you go through the long walkway that we had to build to preserve Desmond Fitzgerald's old terminal building for...
Which is being used for the EU presidency.
Yes, for old fusty old terminal for the VIPs. Instead of turning left, you build a pier that goes out to the right there. Exactly. And you just mirror what we have. So a two-story building, steps down, lots of aircraft parking stands right up against the terminal. And you could build that for about 60 million. We don't need to spend. That would save you about 5.54 billion of government waste.
Now, going back to T2, because I remember you were very critical of T2. Aren't we glad that we have something like T2? It may be in the wrong place, but it's a very, very useful addition to Dublin Airport. And you wanted basically a shed with a few old stands.
Ah, Pat, that's very offensive. Well, we actually got
I'm
to...
I'm paraphrasing, thereabouts.
But we had proposed at the time, now looks genius in hindsight. We proposed, we got to Blackham & Mara Architects International to design a T2 on the north apron, which is where the hangars are at the moment. And you would drive in around the car parks and you'd have Terminal 1 on the left-hand side, Terminal 2 on the north apron, which is where the new runway is. And it's now where the extension of Pier 1 is going to be. That's where this airport should grow. And that's where the airport can grow in a modular, low-cost fashion. And low-cost air travel is what's going to drive growth at Dublin Airport for the next 20 years and economic growth on and off this island.
Now, looking more strategically at what's happening in air travel, these last few days, it's been very hot.
Yep.
The idea that people might not have the appetite for travel to the southern European hotspots much anymore. Are you planning for those kind of eventualities with climate change?
No, because the demand for travel to Faro and Malaga and Sardinia and the Canaries continues unabated. You know, people have more leisure time. The greatest impetus for growth for Ryanair in recent years has been working from home. We have literally hundreds of thousands of people who are allegedly working from home, but from an Airbnb in Barcelona or from an Airbnb in Prague. And it's great. They have the freedom to move around. They want to travel. I grew up in a generation, the 60s and 70s. You know, we couldn't get off the island. It had to be a boat to Liverpool or Holyhead.
And I remember the return fare to London.
£209, which today would be about €700. And that was if you didn't stay a Saturday night, the old scam by the flag carrier. But that was then, this is now.
So the question of continuing with cheap fares, yep. I mean, what has your fuel bill been like this past while? I know you've hedged, but that hedging comes to an end.
Yeah, our fuel bill is about €5 billion a year. Thankfully, we had hedged 80% of our fuel out to March 27 at $67 a barrel. So we've been well covered. Now, the other 20%, we're currently paying about $120 a barrel for it. But because we're able to secure all that fuel at a low price, we can keep our fares low through this summer and still be profitable. Many of our competitors are in real trouble because they haven't hedged or can't hedge. Europe is consolidating towards four large airlines. You're going to have three high fare connecting carriers, BA, Lufthansa and the Air France family. And then one low-cost point-to-point carrier, Ryanair. And we're the one who's going to keep them all honest. And the great news for consumers is we've ordered 300 new aircraft from Boeing. We ordered them during COVID, so we got a fantastically low price. And these aircraft have 20% more seats but burn 20% less fuel. So I predict we will grow to 300 million passengers a year over the next decade, but by keeping our fares really low, down around 45, 50 euros.
Now, we've seen the well-publicised difficulties that Boeing have had.
Yep.
So how about your supply chain? I mean, can they deliver deliver on time as ordered?
We think so. I mean, Boeing are growing. Boeing changed the management team about 2 years ago. The new management team are doing a terrific job. They delivered the last 29 of our old order, actually ahead of schedule last autumn and this spring in time for summer 2026. And they're pretty confident now that our new MAX 10s, we get 15 of them in the spring of next year, will deliver on time. In fact, you know, and they're already being manufactured. The fuselages are already being manufactured in Wichita.
Okay, so you're confident you will get those on time.
Yep.
Now, going back to the Ryanair experience, yep. I mean, at the beginning, there was a lot of criticism of Ryanair. I remember...
There still is, occasionally.
BAC 111s, the early... I remember coming back
and
from...
And those were noisy.
I was in Rome for that famous quarterfinal where we were beaten 1-0. Now you've got the most modern fleet in the world. But the Ryanair experience still involves a lot of queuing.
Yep.
Like you queue... for your priority or non-priority, then you queue when you go down the steps in Dublin Airport, then you might queue on the tarmac waiting for the aircraft to be cleaned and so on. Is that the inevitable price you have to pay for a low-cost experience?
I would argue, I don't think it's a price you have to pay. I mean, nobody has to queue because we've allocated seats. I don't understand why people queue. The biggest queues now at the airports are in the non-priority queue. Why don't you just buy priority? You have your allocated seat. You've already checked in.
What do DAA currently charge? I mean, the nominal charge per passenger is 10.39, I think. That's one of the lowest in Europe.
It isn't. It's one of the highest in Europe.
I was looking at them. In Heathrow, it's anywhere between 23.70 and 28-something.
Yep.
Charles de Gaulle is cheap. It's 10-something. Dublin, 10.39. Frankfurt, 25 to 30.
Yep.
Schiphol, 20 to 25.
Well done. You've bought the four other most expensive airports in Europe.
No, but I mean 10 compared to 20 compared to 10.
Well,
you
firstly,
know.
Every airport charges on a departing passenger basis. So So Dublin charges €20 per departing passenger. And then on the other end, you'll pay whatever it is. Barcelona today is about €12 per departing passenger. Madrid is about €8 per departing passenger. I mean, all of these airports where we're growing are cheaper than Dublin. And Dublin is not Charles de Gaulle. Dublin is not Heathrow, much as they'd like to think they are. They are about the 15th biggest airport in Europe, but they're about the fifth. They're the second most expensive airport we fly to.
Now, moving on to other matters, arson at Ryanair houses in North County Dublin. I mean, I don't understand why.
Well,
but it happened.
You and me both. I mean, some hooded moron went around last Monday night. I mean, we own about 40 houses in Swords. We rent them at a discounted rate to, you know, our cabin crew, our graduate employees in head office, our engineers, and a couple of the junior pilots. What was he trying to achieve? I mean, I don't know. Was he annoyed with Ryanair? In which case, come round to our head office and set a bin on fire. Was it some anti-immigration thing? This isn't immigration. They're all Europeans. In fact, the majority of these people are Irish. But they're all Europeans. So what are you... But it's just mindless stupidity. So some guy runs around, sets fire to 7 bins. I mean, he has upset our people. We're running around fixing the doors. Right? We're putting new security measures on the properties, video cameras. The guards have been very helpful. And the guards in Swords are terrific. And we have now security patrols going through there at night. But we shouldn't have to do that in Swords when you have... what really bugs me is these are young Irish and European people. They're working hard here in Ireland. They're all paying taxes to the Irish state. They're all paying their rents. And, you know, it's not being subsidised. Well, it's being discounted. But what's your beef?
Looking back at your past year, I can understand why you would not necessarily ever be a politician because you tend to speak your mind. Is the highlight of your little spat with Elon Musk?
I mean, it was a gift. It was a joy. I'm not even on bloody X, that cesspit called X. But so I thought it was a very reasoned, we've been looking to try to put free Wi-Fi on board our planes. At the moment, the aerial technology means you have a fuel drag of about 1 or 2%. But in our case, that's 100, 200 million a year. And we're not willing to pay that. Starlink is a very good system. I have no issue with the technology. Starlink believes that 50% of our passengers will pay to use free Wi-Fi, and we believe nobody will pay. But if it's free, they'll all use it.
And why would you not? If the average fare, I don't know what it is.
€45.
€45. So therefore, if you were to add 1% of that, it's 50 cent onto the ticket and get free Wi-Fi.
Hey, except if I could add 50...
It might keep the obs quiet.
But
on board.
Pat, if I could add 50 cents to the ticket, I'd have undone it already. I mean, we are, nobody will be behind. Nobody will get up faster than me in the morning to raise airfares if I could get away with raising airfares. Our tickets are vastly cheaper than any other airline in Europe, because that's what we need to sell them at to fill the very large number of additional flights we're operating now, every year.
You're frequently critical of our local politicians, but I often wonder, are we not blessed compared to what they have stateside?
I mean, you know, there's lots
Would you shake Donald Trump's hand?
Of course I'd shake Donald Trump's hand. I'd shake Micheál Martin's hand. I just disagree with his inaction and inactivity. Micheál Martin has built a 30-year career wandering around, wringing his hands, but doing very little. Now, he says the right things, and and Simon Harris is equally disappointing. You know, here's a government with a 20-seat majority, and one of the things they promised was they'd scrap the Dublin airport cap as soon as possible. 18 months later, nothing done. Why can't we fix infrastructure? Because they can't get anything done.
Bottom line, you'd like Mary Lou in charge.
No, bottom line, I want politicians here to deliver, deliver. And I go back, to the days when you had Charlie Haughey or Charlie McCreevy was in finance. Things got done. They weren't run around by their civil service minister. You can't do this, minister, you can't do that. Charlie McCreevy told me a great line once. He said, if you ever want to get something done in government, he said, if you ask civil servants, can I do something? It will never be, no, minister, you can't, or we'll have to refer that to the Attorney General. Oh, it's a very complicated idea. And Charlie said, tell the civil servants, we're doing this. Now tell me how it gets done. And he said, the civil service will actually respond to that and will get it done if that's what the minister tells them he's going to do.
I remember there was an issue over bus lanes and Albert Reynolds was the Minister for Transport. And there was some issue, can't do it. Yeah. And he said, I'll go out and paint them myself.
Exactly. Just get it done. I mean, we have a management meeting at 8 o'clock every Monday morning. Everybody has a list of action points by Friday. Get it done. I mean, the cabinet of this country meets at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday. So there's half the week is gone already. It sends most of the afternoon, I don't know what they do. And then nothing happens. Why does the cabinet not meet at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning? I mean, I understand 80 years ago they were all driving up on bad roads to Dublin. They could have an online Teams cabinet meeting at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. Here's your list of things to do for this week. Now go get it done. But they're all wandering around, giving speeches, getting their photograph taken.
To borrow from Christy Moore, they're cutting tapes and throwing shapes.
Exactly, and nobody's doing any work. There's lots of things I disagree with Trump. I think Trump is fundamentally, historically wrong on tariffs, and he's historically wrong on Ukraine. But you can't argue the guy gets things done. Now, you may disagree with him, but he does deliver. Now, he may be only delivering for the rich, and he may be delivering one of the more corrupt administrations in US history. But at least things get done. Everybody knows who's in charge.
Not necessarily done well if you're trying to paint a pool.
No, absolutely. But I mean, God help us, I would take it over Micheál Martin, who can't get anything done because he's too busy wringing his hands and nodding and doing social media posts.
You've recently signed on for more time with Ryanair. Why?
Because I like the business, I like the job. We're in a period of very exciting growth, and we have a terrific team at Ryanair. And I see no reason why I wouldn't stay for another 5 or 6 years and help the airline grow from 200 to 300 million a year. And if there's government indolence such as there is here in Ireland to be tackled, then let's sign up and tackle it.
If there was a job spec for a Ryanair employee, what would that be?
Work hard.
That's
so,
it.
All we want. I go around and people, what's your ideal? I like people who want to just come to work and work hard. I'm not interested in your work-life balance. Go away. I'm not interested in I want people who want to come to Ryanair, want to work hard and want to transform the way air travel is delivered around Europe.
Now, one of the thorny issues facing this country is undocumented immigration.
Yep.
Now, some people are genuinely fleeing, but if they get on a plane, they should have a document with them. And it could be a Ryanair plane, and they emerge off that plane with no documentation. How do you solve that problem?
I think it's fundamentally simply. Firstly, nobody gets on board a Ryanair aircraft without documentation. You simply will not do it. If you don't have your passport, you're not getting on our plane, even between Ireland and the UK. So we have all that documentation. We've spoke to the Department of Justice here and to the EU authorities. Why don't you just get the airlines? Take a photocopy of that passport. Why don't you get passengers making a booking, put your photocopy of your passport into your booking, and then we have the passport details of every passenger who's flown with us.
So the person who says, I have no documentation, the answer from the authorities is, yes, you have, and we have it from the airline.
Exactly. Now, you'll have all the civil libertarians down there going, we can't do this GDPR nonsense and all the rest of it. But you try and book into a hotel anywhere in Europe, and the first thing the reception does is they take a copy of your passport and they have it there. Now, if hotels can do it across Europe, why don't the authorities simply work with the airlines to do something similar? And then you have the documentary evidence for every single passenger on board our aircraft. problem solved. There are simple solutions to these issues, but the authorities don't want to implement them because they'd rather be warbling on about GDPR or all the rest of it. It is a nonsense.
Michael O'Leary, long may you prosper.
And
thank
long
you
may
very
you,
much.
Pat, and continued success with the weekend programme. You have transformed my weekend listening. It's great. Keep up the good work.
Michael O'Leary, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk with Timber Living Log Cabins.